everybody, to the Reflex Blue Show, I believe number 88. I have with me co-host Ben Luders.
Hello, everybody.
And frequent guest Steve Gordon.
What up?
And we have brought back Brandon Herbel.
Hey, what's up?
Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, Herbel.
Herbel, Brandon Herbel. Ooh. Over at Make Believe Studio. And now, you and Steve have just opened up a little clothing manufacturing joint. What's the deal there? Is it running?
It's kind of a mixture. What it is basically a creative group. So individually, everyone still kind of does their own thing. But collectively, we work on projects together. Just kind of either when I need help or we approach clients and work on bigger things together. So
tell them the name of it.
The Common Co.
The Common Co.
And is there a website?
Yep, thecommon.co.
Thecommon.co. And you guys are located in the Mastercraft in Omaha?
Yep.
And you guys screen print t-shirts and stuff. Do you screen print other stuff?
Yeah, we actually just got a vacuum table to do posters, too. So we can do up to pretty much 20 by 24 size posters.
I think one important thing is that we are creatives and designers also. So a lot of places that you would take to get things screen printed can't, they might have one designer on staff mainly for pre-press or for prep, but we can take projects from concept to execution.
And you guys are taking work from other designers if we need something printed?
Yep. Yeah, actually, we're about to do some stuff for you guys. Yep. And
well, I wanted to make sure before I told our audience to go to the Common Co, thecommon.co,
right?
Before you're like, no, we're just doing that. Like, you know, nobody's printing out that we're going to help people.
Yeah, that's on the hush, and now your project's off the table.
Oh, great.
But we're actually. I have a meeting later with Edison, that's in the Mastercraft, and then Whatcheer. They hit us up, so we're going to do some stuff for them, too. So, yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Well, the reason we brought everyone here is because you guys kind of got a new business of your own. Ben's young. I'm old and cynical, so I need some help on this. We're going to talk about motivation for designers, I believe. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, okay. Indeed.
And we have this broken down in categories. We're going to each go through our number one motivational thing for the categories of a website, a quote, advice, activity, and the food and or drink to stay motivated in design. Where do we want to start?
I like running down the list. I think the 1, 2, 3, 4 list that you had is good.
All right. We're going to start on this first one with Ben. Ben, what is the website that you go to for motivation?
You know, I had to think about this one for a little bit, which is kind of was a little disappointing for me. But I realized that, you know, I don't really follow a lot of, like, national design blogs. There's not, like, you know, particular places I go for inspiration besides Facebook. And then I realized, no, the places that I go most of all are other local designer sites. So I go to places like Oxide Design, Secret Penguin, Ridiculous even, Whatcheer.
Thanks, man.
All these, you know, these kind of guys just kind of keep up with the people that, you know, are in, you know, our playing field. And so that's where I go the most, I think.
No. Keeping up with the Joneses. I understand. Brandon?
I don't know if it's kind of the go-to site anymore, but Dribbble is a really good place for inspiration and just to kind of keep up with trends, see what's going on at the time. It can be a good or a bad thing, I think. But
now, Dribbble's the site where other designers share their stuff, like In Progress.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, the In Progress sort of working on type of thing. It's not really portfolio. It's more like pre-client, pre-portfolio.
See, we have the opposite ends of the spectrum here. Brandon's hitting the people up before they're done. Ben just cares about the finished work.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Such a pup.
So do you guys use Dribbble or just look at it for inspiration?
I'm on there. I don't look at it for inspiration. I take that back. I'll occasionally look at it for inspiration. Mm-hmm. I use it to get just a really quick hit of feedback from people that are connected to me.
Okay.
Like, and a lot of people that follow me, you'll get people that follow
you
because
you have to follow people.
Yeah,
it's all public.
It's like social design.
Okay.
And so, you know, you'll get people that follow you similar to what you do, whether that's, like, for me, it's apparel design, typography. And so I have some people who have really great work in typography, and they'll weigh in on the stuff that I post. And that kind of helps me get a feel for, oh, you're right, you know, maybe I should try to do this or do that or put this in this way. So,
and I think that was the point of it, was to get feedback from other designers.
Yeah.
So, you know, before they send something to a client, maybe get some feedback from everyone else out there. So it's pretty cool.
No, that sounds good. Steve, you?
For me, favorite website lately has been streetetiquette.com. I'm notorious for not following very many, if any, design industry related things. Just because it's kind of like in business, I don't think you can't expect to get work from other designers. You know, if you want to do work, you got to go hang out where the business people hang out. You got to go hang out where the people who need your services are. Well, so for websites and sort of motivation and inspiration, I like to go places that use design in a less pretentious way than designers. So streetetiquette.com is actually a clothing and fashion blog out of the Bronx. And these guys have amazing style. They're on trend with everything. Their color palettes that they use in their clothing are design related. And usually fashion leads design by about 2 years. So if you're on point with a design or if you're on point with fashion and you follow that, your color palettes are going to be great. The influence that you pull is going to be good. So I like to step out of the realm of traditional graphic design, but stay close with style and fashion and that sort of thing. So streetetiquette.com.
I like it. If I can spell etiquette, I will find it. Right. Well, mine is, I'm going to go even further. I just go Wikipedia.
I will second that. Donovan is on Wikipedia.
And that
like
does not surprise
seven.
Me. It does not yeah. surprise me.
I get inspired by that, but I don't know if it ever filters into my design, but that's all my inspiration right there.
I love that you're stacking info, though. You're just stacking info.
Now, what we have done, though, is we've brought in the big guns.
We have
brought in experts, and the first one is Armin Witt, who him with his wife Byrony have started up Speak Up, For Print Only, what is it, that new menu website that they got going on,
yep.
Quipsologies, brand new. So basically they have founded like...
They've got like an empire.
They have founded probably all of the websites we should have been mentioning.
Right.
So we're going to open up the envelope.
Nice. Oh, nice.
Yeah, we'll
get that sound in mind.
And we're going to see what the actual website we should be following is.
Shaw.
Okay.
From Armin Witt. He says, I'll avoid some of the usual suspects and say that one of my top websites that I follow that continually surprises me with content that doesn't appear in other websites is a blog called Nice Fucking Graphics. Run by a Mexican graphic designer that goes by the nickname El Barbon, the big bearded one. NFGraphics.com.
Nice. NFGraphics.
So, when I'm done with Wikipedia... Or on Wikipedia, nfgraphics.com.
Yes, do that. Do that. You'll have links.
Thank you, Armin. Now we know where he gets his inspiration.
I don't doubt it. Hi, Armin. I can only hear, if I could just hear his voice saying that, it would have been that much funnier and informative.
Probably.
Next time.
Probably. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Now, on to quotes. Do you guys follow quotes much?
I don't. You know, I'll get some...
I mean, some people are into quotes. I love reading them. I don't know if I can.
I'll get some quotables on Twitter, Facebook. Most of my quotables come from myself, so that's just really bad.
I keep thinking I need, like, big vinyl...
Just quote yourself.
Big vinyl quotes on the walls around here.
Yeah, I just have a bunch of quotables from myself. I don't sign them, so that days later I'm like, who said that? That's brilliant.
You guys don't, like... screen print like little inspirational quotes on picture frames for grandmas
down.
Or
write
anything.
That down. We're totally gonna do that from now on.
And do it like the Veer shirt with the old picture frame.
From the tree.
Yeah.
We're gonna do a whole series of screen printed posters with cats that have inspirational quotes.
That'll be in a picture frame printed on it.
In a picture frame, yes. Yes.
Alright, well we're going round robin here. So in this time we're starting with Brandon. What is your inspirational quote that motivates you?
I gotta pull it up 1 second. I got it from Johnny Cupcake because I saw it on his blog a few days ago.
This is the guy that sells T-shirts on a cupcake old cupcake places
in Boston.
Boston.
Was it in Boston?
That's the his home office, his main store.
Is it gonna be close to where the Howe Conference is?
Oh,
so we can walk over to Johnny Cupcakes?
Oh yeah, we did it as like a group last time. It was like a field trip.
Sweet,
get some shirts.
Okay, I'm excited. I'm excited.
Hopefully he's there.
His quote was: "Real success is being happy doing what you love."
I love it.
I feel like that's something to definitely live by. If you're not happy doing what you love, then...
Crap, I gotta find another profession.
not happy.
That's actually a really good quote, though. I like
At least for me, I don't know, my work, half the time doesn't even feel like work. It's just something I enjoy doing, so.
You'd be doing it even if you weren't, getting paid for it, maybe.
I was only half joking, but then I thought about, okay, what would I quote?
And go ahead and quote yourself, Steve. It's okay.
Damn it.
Go ahead.
Earn your sleep. That's probably one of my favorite quotes that I tell myself all the time, and I made it into a t-shirt. It's the sort of thing where everyone asks, like, where you get the energy? How do you keep going? You know, it's like I fall asleep when I've exhausted the possibilities of that particular day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that I have to work overtime. If I have one hell of a project that took me, 4 hours and my day is done, peace. I'm done, but make sure that you earn the right to fall asleep that day. You know, the rest will, you string enough of those days together and the rest will take care of itself, So, and then there's a Maya Angelou quote. It's not written down anywhere. I saw it in a television interview that she did. And the host asked her how she was doing. And she said, I may protest, but I will never complain. And that was profound. I love that.
Oh, that's a good quote. It took me a few seconds. Yeah, well, because
when you think about it, when you're protesting something, if there's protestation, there's a cause. You're aiming that at something. Complaint,
for change.
Yeah, complaint is just random and often without any purpose.
It's usually behind the back.
Exactly. So that's one profound quote that I always try and keep in mind is that I will protest, but I will never complain.
Well, I was going to go with something by LMFAO.
Party Rock in the house tonight?
But I wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Yeah.
But instead, I'm going to go
that's hard to
with Dick Cheney, go fuck yourself.
Is that for real? Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Okay, great. You never
know what? You should go as Dick Cheney for Halloween, dude. He could pull it off.
He could pull it off better than some.
Nice.
There you go. I'm working on that.
That's how you do it. Or LMFAO.
Love it.
Wiggle.
So for my quote, I was thinking back to my dad, actually. My dad used to always say this thing. He was a writer. He is a writer. And I was homeschooled, and he taught our writing class. And one of the things he always would say, you might have heard, is the KISS principle, keep it simple, stupid.
Of course.
And that's one that's always sticks out. I just see my dad saying that when I'm doing a design, just keep it simple. You don't have to always go crazy. Sometimes the simplest answer is the best answer. So that's one that sticks out a lot.
No, I like it. All right. Well, our real answer comes from Von Glitschka, author, illustrator, designer.
Just a great guy.
Yeah, actually, Von is a great guy.
Yeah, he is.
Von says, when the design quote is approved, that motivates me a lot. There you go.
Damn it, Vaughn. He's always one step ahead of us on the thinking, man.
Yeah. We're thinking.
What's your favorite quote? The one they accept and pay.
I think he's right there.
He's true.
All right, we're going to move on. Advice. What is the best advice that has motivated you, Steve? The
best advice I have ever gotten was from Kelly Goto, who runs Goto Media out in San Fran, Hi Kels. And she was, I had just gone independent. I was at a HOW conference, and I was in her session. She was with Justin Ahrens, our good friend Justin. Hate your face, Justin. And she was giving great advice for those who wanted to start their own studio. But I didn't want to start a studio. I wanted to live the life of an independent creative, not necessarily a freelancer, but this is when I started to form the idea of I'm an independent one-man shop. And she pulled me aside, and she said, because on stage she said, I'll answer that question privately because it didn't pertain to the rest. And she pulled me aside, and she said, I couldn't say this on stage because we were talking about companies and studios and incorporation and all that. And she said, you are not a company, but you can run yourself like a business. Best advice I had heard, because when someone starts, they go out on their own, a lot of freelancers, the first thing they'll do is come up with a fancy company name, put it on a business card, and then start saying we. And you're not we. Unless you plan to be later, you are I. And there's business out there for independent contractors, but not if you call yourself a company. And she said, handle your business, but you are not a company. And that was the best advice. It gave me that sort of professional okay from somebody I looked up to say, you're on the right track. be a contractor for 12 years. You don't have to, just because you're in the creative profession and you want, and you're out on your own, it doesn't mean that you have to have a 5-year plan to have 3 employees, a storefront, and all of these things. If that's what you want, fine. If not, it's okay to be a business. You're not a company.
No, and you've been living that. I mean,
trying
you've been,
to. And that all stems from that moment that I talked to Kelly.
How long ago was that?
That was, oh my goodness, the HOW conference in Las Vegas in 2005.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep, ever since that moment.
Wow. Well, mine was just when we had Robert Bruner on the show a few years ago, and he just changed my outlook of, you know, an okay client, because he does product design, mm-hmm. is one that tells you to, you know, because I asked him, I said, is a good client someone that says, like, we want a better hammer? And he said, well, that's an okay client. A better client says, we have this idea that people want to drive nails into a wall. And an even better client than that says, we have this idea that people want to hang things on a wall. And so, you know, I just took that advice as then the, you know, you're always looking at the problem too closely.
That's brilliant.
You need to step back. And then when we step back, sometimes we step back and design because we're so close to it. And then I realized that, oh, no, he wants you to take another step back. You know, right. Where do you go? So a client says, hey, we want you to do this brochure. And you're like, that may be what they ask, but maybe that's not really what they want.
Our guy, Alan Tipp, eyewear designer for iKing, and he handled most of the design for the Under Armour eyewear. He had a brilliant one that's along those lines where he says, they don't come to me and tell me to make sunglasses. They come to me with the proposition of create something to shield my eyes from light. I'm like, oh, man, that's brilliant, because they didn't say frames and lenses, so it leaves it open for him to explore.
Yeah, and it's so easy to get too close to the problem that you'll never find the solution.
Yeah.
Ben, in your many years, Ben, so young, we mock him.
Such a pub. Always so mocking young. Him. So young.
Man. I got a kid, you know. I'm not like
that. Just means you started early, dude. Started. That's not our fault.
I wasn't teen pregnant. My wife might have been,
but not you.
All right. Advice. So to figure out what my greatest advice was, I had to go look up a blog where somebody had quoted some advice that I had given, and to remind myself.
This was Illustrate Omaha.
Illustrate Omaha.
All right.
Nice.
That's right. Tony Montgomery.
Tony, update your site more often.
That's right.
I can't say anything. Tony's on me to get an interview done. Sorry, Tony.
Oh, really?
Steve, help Tony update his site more often.
Yeah, there you go. Now we'll get something done. But the thing that I said at that time was a great thing that I learned really early on when I was about 17, 18 years old, is that, you know, when you're a graphic designer, that you're working for your client, not just for yourself. And so sometimes, I'm not saying that you just always like compromise your values or compromise your artisticness or, you know, your talent, but there are sometimes solutions that and decisions that you have to make just to make a client happy and to help, maybe even help their company, that you wouldn't necessarily make for yourself, choices that you maybe you don't want to put in your, you know, show in your portfolio. So that was one that really stood out. Like, you know, we've done design for companies that, you know, we're like, oh, we can make this look way cooler. But it's like, yeah, but you got to think about what this is.
Yeah,
you know?
Is that solving the problem?
Yeah, is that really solving their problem? Do you know what their audience is? You got to put yourself in their shoes. Look at their competition. Look at, you know, put yourself in their world and step out of your own world sometimes. And so that was hard for me at first because I just thought everything had to look my way and look cool and have this. And there's a time for that, for sure, especially in self-promotion. And
some of the best work I've done has come from sitting at the table with a client. Like, I don't hate to say it, clients have great ideas. They might not be able to execute them like I can.
Right.
But if a client has a great idea, yeah, we'll use it.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
No, that's good advice. Brandon?
This was given to me advice, but it's kind of another quote, but work to live, not live to work. And basically learn to, you know, step away, because I'm the type of person that all work, no sleep, that's all I do. Yep. I just want to work and get more projects and try new things. And I mean, sometimes you gotta take a break.
Well, I mean, and sometimes the breaks are when you get the motivation or the, you know, the new ideas.
Again, I mean, even taking like a day off during the week or
like taking a random time. Yeah.
I mean,
work hard and rest well. Yeah.
I got that advice from Kevin, actually, when he came to Omaha the first time I met Kevin McConkey. And that was his thing. You know, he had anyone that worked for him, he had their favorite breakfast ready in the fridge at the office. The first time when they got to the office, they actually sat for an hour and just talked. If the idea wasn't working, he'd go ahead. Okay, everybody clock out, go home, and don't work on this at home. You know, you're not going to hammer through anything just to get to the solution. It doesn't happen that way, you know?
Kevin's actually, we're going to have, he's our next guest. We got it lined up.
Is he really?
Yeah, we're going to, you know, Skype with him.
Nice.
So we're going to have to ask him if that's actually still accurate. Or he's like, no, I tell him, you show up an hour early.
Slave driver.
You'll be lucky to stop to eat.
That's right. But, you know, Brandon, I think a lot of that kind of started coming to the forefront of my mind when I had a kid. Mm. So I appreciate you sharing that, though, because, like, you need to realize, like, you've got a full life here. And, you know, your wife and your kid, you know, definitely need you.
And I had kind of put that into my life before the baby came, but now that she's here, I mean, it's definitely... I mean, 4 months, she's already got a tooth and trying to crawl and...
Overachiever.
Yeah. Smiling and stuff. It's just like, you know, before I know it, she's going to be in high school, so I got to...
Does she have custom, like, screen-printed onesies?
Not yet, but...
She's going
it's on the way.
It's in the works.
Awesome.
But, I mean, you know, that was the topic of my talk at Howl last year. It's just that, you know, creativity's not really about the art. You have to live a really big life. And I think we give up sometimes our biggest source of energy... Our mental and emotional and spiritual capital is that creatives live a really interesting life. And when you hunker down on the work and you stop living that life, your work gets stale.
Well, we have our proper answer is from this guy named Nate Voss.
Nathan.
I've never heard of him.
We got Nate Voss to send this in. Actually, this is, between specials and episodes, this is actually Nate's 100th appearance on the Reflux Blues show.
Woo! Well done, Nate. Well done.
Speech.
He probably doesn't even realize that this was, I don't think he knew. Because, you know, we the specials aren't
That's
really
true.
In the county.
Nobody's counting
blah.
Except you, Donovan.
Well, it's on the, you can just go, I mean, we got a page on
That's
there.
That's how Donovan found out. He goes on iTunes and counts real quick.
No, I was building the page to put, that says, like, who the mentions were, and I'm like, man, we've been on a lot of these, and I counted Nate's, and I was like, he quit at 99.
Come on.
No.
All right, Nate's is... Quit fucking up all the time.
Yeah. That sounds like Mr. Voss.
It's the best advice he got.
Best advice.
And that motivates him.
I love it.
All right. We'll be right back. We got two topics left. The first one of the last two is activity. The activity that motivates us the most in design.
Donovan, what is the activity that motivates you the most in design?
Or the one that I find motivating is sometimes it's just hunting down objects. Like, you know, there's like some vinyl record we want in the office.
That's a good one.
Or there's, you know, some, I don't know.
Food.
Star Wars Hallmark ornament we can't find. You know, it's like the adventure, the scavenger hunt.
I love it.
Sometimes, you know, it's just like they're on a list and maybe you run into them at an estate sale.
That's right.
That's kind of...
Some wild animal that we need to hunt down with a bow and arrow on our bicycles.
There are a lot of geese on that trail.
Yeah, there you go.
Right behind
You know
us.
What? There are geese on the trail. I was on a bike ride the other day and there's geese. I'm like, what's up, goose?
I mean, we got that bigger fridge now here in the office. We could probably get a goose in there.
I think
Let's
you
do
can
it.
Get a goose in there.
We're going to have to down some of the fat tires real quick to make room for it.
Mm-hmm. Get your Hunger Games on. It's cool. Don't sweat it.
Real life Hunger Games on the bike trail. That's my number two.
Yeah, that'll work.
Ben?
Yeah, you know, for me, it's always been music. And I don't mean just, you know, playing the music in the office, but also just going home and playing music. I have a grand piano at home and guitar and just singing. And I've written a lot of music, and that's how I always kind of unwind and kind of stay motivated as well. So when I'm working from home, a lot of times I'll design, then I'll just take 5-10 minutes and just rock out, or I don't know if you really call it rocking
out. I think you still rock out a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'll go back, and then it'll be like a whole new me, you know. So maybe I need to bring in my guitar to the office. I don't know.
Is there rocking out allowed at the office?
Ben sings a lot of like love songs.
It would sound like James Taylor.
It's like soft, out. Like soft rocking
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it's not really. It's like yeah.
I keep trying to. Because he's played some concerts or some, you know, coffee shops. I'm like, Ben, you got to play some Motorhead in between.
Even if it's soft Motorhead.
I'm like, what's Motorhead?
Ace of Spades.
There you go.
Ace of Spades.
Sounds like this is something Donovan needs to do. This has nothing to do with
it. It works, man.
Brandon?
I don't know if this is a pretty easy guess, but screen printing. It always, every time you screen print something new or do a poster, you know, each piece is going to look slightly different, and it's just kind of cool to experiment with it and try new things, and even bring it back and scan it, or you know, try to use it in your design too. So.
Do you do a lot of the test prints that are kind of popular too, where you just like have the
Brandon and I
print other stuff on top of other stuff?
I think we've printed our own line of clothing for each other more than we've sold our own clothing.
Hold on one sec. All right, so my other activity is having people call us while we record to interrupt interrupt the recording.
Yeah, was that to sell you overflow services?
No, that's somebody stopping by the office tomorrow.
Nice.
So they're explaining about it. So you guys do printing shirts for each other?
When we test print, it's kind of crazy, you know. Like Brandon said, you end up coming up with different variations.
Each piece,
you're trying out different colors. Like, I seriously have way too many pieces of apparel that I've printed that will never make my shop. They're not even samples. I don't know what you would call them, but they're just laying around the house. I've got like shop rags made out of my own t-shirts now, because you go down, we have Sunday fun day down at the shop sometimes, and so we'll just go down, pull screens, and just start printing on everything to test things out, and it's actually kind of cathartic, you know.
Try new things and check out, you know.
It's good, man.
New textures.
I'll bring the pug by, see if you can screen print on him.
We would totally try it. You only got to keep him down for 2 seconds. Once that ink transfers, man, we got him.
I'm not sure about putting him under the spot heater.
I know, yeah, we can't. He'd have to air dry. We couldn't put him under the flash dryer.
All right, well, he's going to run around and get wet ink all over, so get that, you know, protect the valuable. Steve, what's your activity?
I would say being distracted. It's, for me, it keeps me from... It's kind of like sitting in your chair working so hard, and then you stand up and you're like, oh, crap, I haven't moved all day. Like, I love being distracted. You usually pick up ideas. That's usually when, you know, some clarity hits you.
You're talking about being distracted by somebody or...
By anything. Literally anything that takes me away from my work, because I know me. My work has gravity. My career, my profession, I love it. I'm going to get back to it. So looking at my watch or the clock, thinking, when can I squeeze in more time to work? No, that's never going to happen for me. I'm going to get back to work. Mm-hmm. So for me, the distraction is the value, because it's outliving life, you know. If my wife calls and says, hey, can you run to the store? I'm probably looking at labels as I walk the aisles. When I'm out coaching the kids at the high school, you know, we're talking about trends and fashion and things like that. Or if I'm just, you know, taking a ride to go somewhere, or if I'm headed down to the studio to do some screen printing, I'm picking up information visually, audio, I'm taking in life. So the distraction that pulls me away from my work is actually just what feeds it once I get back to it. Was that the right answer?
I don't know. Let's see.
We're waiting. All right, Steve likes to be distracted, so pick up your cell phone and call him at...
The number on your screen.
The number on your screen is...
No, it's amazing, though. This is like the one profession that it's like people don't understand that just because it looks like you're goofing around, that's sometimes when you get the inspiration, and it's like...
Completely.
You can't just be like... Sit at a cube, stare at a gray wall,
and just keep
hammering away.
I can't be an accountant who crunches numbers all day long. I would love to have that kind of cachet to my job, but I don't. I can't. That's not how it works for us.
Yeah. Right. Well, we contacted Sean Adams from Adams Morioka, nice. Also former president of AIJ National, and also like a direct descendant of like either four or five U.S. presidents.
I think, yes.
Oh, wow.
Anybody with that
and,
name?
And, yeah, one, that... and one other one that was almost president. It was like, you know, yes. didn't get nominated. So he writes, "When I need motivation, I recall the words of my Puritan ancestors. We show God how pleased we are with him by not procrastinating in our tasks." Steve, you were wrong.
That was very presidential of him, too.
Not procrastination is the only activity you need to be motivated.
Not procrastination.
I was so wrong. I was so wrong. Guys, I gotta go. I gotta get back to work.
That was Steve's last show.
Yeah. Steve will never again be seen on the show.
I love it.
All right. Well, we got one topic left, and this is the food and or drink that motivates you.
Yeah. If anybody says coffee, you get ejected.
Oh, crap.
You were about to say coffee?
Ben's first.
Yeah, I was going to say coffee. I am drinking a Sprite right now. But
you can say coffee. Say coffee.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll say. I also said this on Tony Montgomery's blog. But it's not even so much just drinking coffee. A lot of it for me is actually the smell of coffee. Mm. Just like I grind my own coffee at home, and just that little like ritual and that smell, it can just kind of get me thinking. I walk all the way upstairs, grind the coffee, you know, get it going. I hear the little sound of it happening, you know, and it just like something about that process.
Like a true designer, you just described process. You like the process of coffee. That's respectable.
Look at that. Steve Gordon thinks I'm respectable. Write this in my diary when I get home.
Yeah. I went from pup to respectable today.
In one podcast.
And my new activity is writing Steve Gordon quotes in my diary.
Wait, new activity? Anyways. Love it.
Brandon?
I actually can't have caffeine. It gives me migraines. I'm a fan of the Cherry 7-Up. Actually,
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah. That's good stuff. It's
really, and
good
the root beer. Root beer is always a good one.
But not Barks, because it has Bite, which is caffeine.
And don't drink Dr. Pepper 10. It will send you to the moon.
Really?
I've never had it. My God.
That's men, right?
It's got like, it's for men, it's not for girls.
So, women don't want to skip
this part. Is where it's at.
NW's that's solid. NW's solid, man. I like, I wrote down Italian food. And,
pho. You always have good
pho, that's dessert. Right. We have great talks over pho. So,
what's pho?
Pho is,
it's a Vietnamese.
Like, soup.
My dad loves
yeah, like
stuff.
Rice, yeah. Rice and soup and, you know, the broth and anything.
Where do you guys get it?
Where do we go?
Well, there's a couple places. There's a seafood. Well, there's one that's right here on 72nd, but there's one that's on like 78th by the old, World Market.
Yep. Kim Sung?
Yeah, Kim Sung Seafood something. And then there's the Saigon Surface downtown.
Yeah.
They have pretty good pho, too.
And so what I liked about pho, I'm glad you mentioned that, and Italian food is like with pho, it comes out super hot, so you have to wait for it. And it cools, and then you eat. I like anything that allows for a long incubation time of communication. Like Italian food comes out in several different, you know, there's prep time. There's several different courses to the meal, or a good drink. You know, I was speaking of Kevin McConkie again at the last Howl conference in Chicago. We went to a great place downtown called GT, and there were these great drinks. They made these amazing cocktails, these craft cocktails, and they were strong. So you had to sip them, and there was lots of conversation that happened over the course of, you know, food and drink. And so anything that's elongated that allows for communication, I love when it comes to food and drink. Like, if it's just too quick on the go, that's usually just high buy.
Right. So 5-hour energy isn't necessarily...
Right, that's...
Unless you think over a 5-hour period.
Right, right. 1 hour of energy per... Yeah, you have to, like, sip and then go a whole hour.
Wouldn't that be something?
I'm just going Mountain Dew. You know, I mean, it's extreme.
Diet Mountain Dew,
It is totally extreme.
Yeah, I'm on Diet Mountain Dew right now.
However, we've had a lot of conversations about the do around here, man.
Not just conversations.
I realized I had to. I mean, if we've had contests. Yeah.
We've almost puked our brains out drinking like 8-year-old
fermented Mountain Dew.
Super old fermented
alcoholic
Dew.
Alcoholic Mountain Dew.
We've actually got a few giveaways that have been offered to us to give to some of our listeners, but we got to figure out a way to, like, have a drawing or something, or maybe, you know.
A little lottery action.
So stay tuned.
Yeah. A little $540 million.
Trying to figure out, like, how to distribute these or how to... And then we're going to do a giveaway of some sort.
You want to say what the items are?
Not that great.
They're not that great.
You're really selling this. They're good items. They're items I think our listeners enjoy, but, I mean, it's not like we're going to, you know, give out anything that's worth millions.
You don't know that, man. You've seen the swag run at a conference before. Those things are like little trinkets, and people kill each other for
them. Well, we got some autograph books is what we got.
Oh, nice. That's better than swag, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like legit things.
Ooh, add mine to it. I just got a new batch. I'll throw a book in on the contest.
Okay, well we've already got then you will be the third author, and then we got another guy that autographed some logos that he did that were printed on books. So
sweet.
So now we've got like five things to give away.
Yes, I'll throw in a 365 book.
Nice. Okay, fantastic. 365 book.
365 habits.
Not the 300.
Oh, I was thinking the AIGA 365 that they got rid of. They got rid of that competition.
I'll throw theirs in there too.
Yeah, they don't have one anymore. They don't have one. You own it now.
AIGA, give up one of your books.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Well, the answer to this comes from Kevin McConkey.
Yes. Kevin knows best.
Now, Kevin runs Grip over there in Chicago, for those who don't know.
Yes, he does.
And you will know next week where he makes his people come in early and won't talk to them and doesn't let them
in. There's no snacks.
That's right. No breakfast.
Evil Taskmaster.
Kevin says it's the oyster. The first person to eat one was brave, Jonathan Swift. I have seen them plated to represent a piece of abstract art. Paul Cahan did this. They clean the oyster. Sustainability, yay. And they are an aphrodisiac. Sex equals fun. Plus, if whatever god you do or don't believe in made the packaging, it proves that every designer can have an off day.
There's so much there.
Damn it, Kevin. That's why he's awesome.
That's why he's going to be our next guest.
That's exactly why.
It is a fantastic answer. I don't even know if I
fully understood it.
Fully understand the oyster.
Yeah, and make sure you ask him about the Far Side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he swears that Farside's album from 1993, Bizarre Ride 2, is the greatest hip-hop album of all time, and I concur.
Got it.
He usually gets really passionate about it, no matter how many times he's talked about it.
We have Tone Loc in the back room on vinyl. That might be the best.
That should be our outro.
That is good, man. Oh, the outro music should be Tone Loc. Yeah, Funky Cole Medina.
You got
Funky. I'm not mad
the
at that.
The Loc side and the dark side.
I'm not mad at
those
that.
Those are the snot side, A side, B.
I'm not upset Loc with that. They came out about the same time.
Oh, really?
So you might have a good debate going
on. The other one's Far Side, you said?
Yes.
I thought you were talking about the comic strip.
Oh, no,
Gary
no.
Larson. I'm like,
Bizarre Ride.
Okay, cool.
Gary Larson was a hip hopper.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure
he was down with it. That might have even been where Far Side got their name.
Yeah, I don't know. He did work at a music store.
Gary did he really?
Did. Yeah.
Oh. I think you're making stuff up.
No, that's
Wikipedia.
For real.
Check it out.
Wikipedia.
That's where there's a lot of really good.
It's the law.
Music store.
It's never wrong. At all.
All right. Well, thank you guys for being on the show. It's fantastic.
Any
thank
time.
You. Thank you everybody for listening.
Thanks for having
us. If you have comments or want to give in your feedback of where we were wrong or where our guest panel was correct, visit us at 36point.com. We'll see you in probably 2 or 3 weeks with Kevin McConkey.
Love it.